Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and joining me today on this Victory Monday, a gentleman you're going to hear more from based on my voice, Mr. Brian E. Roach. Brian, what's going on, my friend?
It's a beautiful, beautiful Victory Monday, and I'm excited because I got to wear this shirt.
It's like, always a good day
last,
when you wear
last week was it was Victory Tuesday. I couldn't wear this. It was stupid. This week, Victory Monday. So I'm very happy.
I have a Football Friday hoodie. I've worn it here on the show, and it's one of the ThermoWarm Nike deals, which are really nice. Nah, I wear that to the game on Sunday. I don't care because it's underneath other stuff, so I don't look too dumb because, well, people can't read anyways.
That is, well, you know.
General Yinzer, who's still complaining about the Steelers not only pulling off a victory against the Baltimore Ravens 16-13 yesterday, not only sweeping the Cleveland Browns, but also the Baltimore Ravens to go for four wins in the AFC North, which you thought might have been good enough maybe to win the division, but ends up being just enough to squeak into the playoffs. People are still complaining. Brian, I don't have the voice for it today. If you can hear me here, I apologize to everyone. I've got a cough drop in, and I really wanted to try and get this in, and Brian was like, well, I don't know if I remember how to do anything solo, so I got to hold his hand. But what was it? We were trying to do the Mr. Ed thing, and I butchered it the start.
That's true.
Yeah.
Your voice is horse as a horse, of course, and you couldn't say that.
No, I couldn't. I can't say a whole lot. This is the most I've talked in a few days. So sitting through the game yesterday, I was like, well, it was good that I could just at least sit through, mostly enjoy. There were some, again, annoying, irritating moments. I can't even blame Sean Hockley and his crew for the one that I'm going to bring up.
Oh,
that's going to be this
guy. I wonder
guy.
If it's the same one.
Yeah, the thing that's on my back, maybe. A number 90 TJ Watt, who should have a sack record. But, yeah, I apologize if you hear me click-clacking or doing the rapper or something with the cough drop. I'm just here to muscle through this like I did that stupid game last night, which I actually fell asleep on and woke up just in time where they were kicking off. I was like, oh, no, who scored? Nobody did. It's overtime. I'm like, wait, no, that means they're tied. Like, what is going on? Cats and dogs, well, mass pandemonium.
Yeah. We can definitely get to that.
Oh, my goodness.
Because Festivus has come back because I got problems with some of them people, and I got a lot to say about it. Anyway. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I've got the bowl over here, but I'm not going to – I didn't put it into storage yet.
Good.
Get it out of storage,
good.
You know.
Because I need it right now to beat somebody. You know, his initials go CC. He's my new I want to punch him in the face boy for the moment. As a flavor of the day, right?
Oh, it's so irritating. But, and just like just anything and everything that could take it down to I just love how some people were like, well, this just means the NFL isn't fixed. And I'm like, I don't know. This is some pretty good Hollywood draw it up. Like, how much more drama can you ask for? I have to watch two games that go into OT and down to the wire. And
I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again. Could there be a more fitting ending to this season as a Steelers fan than what we've had to endure all season long, all of the trials, all the tribulations, than to be watching a game that you literally could care less who wins, as long as someone does, and only be able to, like, you can't even relax and do that, because that goes down not to the end of the game, but to the very last second of overtime.
Yeah, you ain't lying, man, and even that, for that matter, the Steelers and Ravens, let's think about some game balls first, so we'll come back to that idea, because I was wondering, Tomlin was ready to go for it on fourth down. He was playing some John Harbaugh-esque ball there, and if he doesn't get there, may have a different result of this game right out the gate. So, I mean, it may have saved himself.
Oh, absolutely.
May have saved himself just by virtue of the false start penalty. I can't remember if that was John LeGlue. And that was a funny thing, too. I will give some props here. Charles Davis, I was very impressed with him yesterday on the play-by-play. And I know sometimes we make fun of him.
I'm going to complain about him, too.
He probably says some things here or there. He gets really super excited. Hey, it's not RG3, who you're probably getting on the national championship game. Oh, my goodness. He said something like it, trying to link together with that Applebee's song. And it's just like, come on, man. Like,
it doesn't get his facts straight all the time. And he says the wrong things. And then it aggravates me. But I actually like a majority of commentators out there. I like Charles Davis. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's on Madden.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even know.
He was. At least the last time I played Madden, he was the commentator.
I will admit, I didn't play this year's, but it's just saying he is well learned, it seems. He brought up like Kevin Dotson and starts talking about what college he went to. I mean, you're digging into a fourth round pick who hasn't played in a month or two. You know, pretty good stuff there. Even if it is just, you know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, maybe he knows him through somebody, the football fraternity. But I thought overall, I wasn't too like frustrated with the commentary. In fact, if I were a Ravens fan, I would have been more frustrated because they still were technically not eliminated, and it was all about the Steelers for a portion there. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention some well-deserved Permane Brothers sandwiches. I hope maybe they're listening or they're already on the way down
to
Florida.
Jaguars.
Jacksonville. But Brian, we were sitting here, and by virtue of, thank God, because I ended up, you know, getting sick, we wouldn't have been able to record late at the end of the week for a pregame anyway, so we doubled up the show with the Monday Night Football. But we did the Dumb and Dumber thing, which is all Chris Collinsworth would talk about.
Saying there's a chance.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like when there's a movie poster and Chris Collinsworth starring, he's playing a dual role, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, he's Dumb and Dumber, absolutely.
So you're saying there's a chance. We're trying to. I don't know if we actually said it on the show, but I knew it or I learned of it after. We knew.
Oh,
I think
six?
We did. Yeah, the
yeah, we did.
Six number,
we did say
because we also we said that the Patriots, who also flopped in Miami, there's something about going down there, and we'll remember this when they have to play. I think they play in Miami next year. The Steelers do. So I'm gonna try and get there. I wanna go to the Hard Rock Stadium and see that. See it all done up, you know, the remodeled version there. I didn't get to go down there a few years ago.
Hot in Florida.
It'll probably lose. It'll be sticky and nasty. Well, it depends. What time of the year, you know, if it's like November.
Look,
it's
let's just be honest.
KC.
next season, don't go into any games expecting victory right now.
I know people are saying that. I know people are saying that. But, hey, you know what? I'm so sick of seeing
Expecting. I'm not saying they can't. I mean, crap. Tomlin managed to go, 8-8 with Hodges and Rudolph combined. So never say never. I just said don't expect.
And that was that's the worst team. I really want to leave that for like offseason stuff because all I see is people talking about who to sign. Let's poach Tyler Huntley, who hopefully that gave an eye-opener for all the people that were on his bandwagon yesterday. Speaking of which, what were his numbers? They weren't too impressive. He ran for more probably than he did anything. 12 for 72, 16 to 31, 141 and two picks, a 37.2 rating. Just abysmal. You mean to tell me that some combo of Rudolph and Haskins can't do that? You know, people forget that there was Dante Moncrief on this roster for half a season. They remember when Ben was trying to throw to him in New England for the only game Ben was fully healthy for. They remember that quite well. They remember complaining about dink and dunk offense with Randy Fickner. They remember James Conner and Juju being hurt, but they don't link any of that together with like the play of like Mason or even Duck for that matter, and Duck to a lesser extent since he threw six picks in the last three games that were all losses. I'm not going to say I have the same amount of optimism as having a healthy Hall of Fame Ben Roethlisberger, but I don't think you're ever going to count the Steelers out necessarily. And if you look at the beginning of the season versus where we're at now, if you would have told everyone the Bengals are winning the division, the Steelers are getting the wild card, everyone was picking those two teams to be at the bottom, and in some cases, the Steelers to be absolute last.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens, and I understand the Ravens have a number of injuries, but they
absolutely
their eight wins is still maybe a high bar for the talent.
So do
on
we.
This team.
So, you know, there you go. I got the world's smallest violin for your hurts.
Absolutely.
Ouchie, ouchie.
Absolutely. People, you forget. It's like, how different is this team maybe if Juju's out there? Eric Ebron,
well,
another
forget the rest of that. How different is this team with Tyson Alualu and Stephon Tuitt out there?
How different is this team with Joe Haig, John LeGlue, and J.C. Hasenauer starting on the offensive line yesterday?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot going on here. And to think that coaching preparation and, yeah, you know, some people are like, well, Tomlin can't coach out of a wet paper bag or anything like that. I present to you Exhibit A because there was some smart decision-making in this game. I know there was a situation we're going to get to on fourth down. Why didn't he go for it? Using a timeout, and it was like, I love some of that, too. It's like, why use a timeout here? They're using it for themselves, man. It's like, yeah, save some time.
The most ridiculous comment by Mr. Boucher. I'll give you, I'm gonna tear him up for it. It was dumb.
He deleted it.
I know. Because he knew it was dumb.
As did another national media person who was trying to make a Mr. Chase Claypool look like Antonio Clown oh Brown. God.
Can we not even Facebook talk about that thing. Guy?
Yeah, that was
he's just lost his mind again. Oh my gosh.
But anyways, we thought this might be a close game. We thought this could be down to special teams, which it primarily was. Neither of these teams have had explosive offenses. Look, we're not trying to tell you we're happy this morning. Steelers are in the playoffs, happier in the pig and mud. Going forward, we make no guarantees or promises. some people will say,
but anything can happen. That's all I'm going to say. Anything can happen.
And people will say, well, you're just down with mediocrity. Mediocrity would be happy that they didn't make the playoffs or got like a high draft pick. That's mediocrity. You got to win to get in the postseason. Once you're in, it's do or die. It's a tournament. Anything can happen. So you should be happy to be there. If you're not there, then you don't have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So you have to make the playoffs first. And I know that it's above some people's thinking. Well, this team's not very good. What can they do? Well, we've seen teams with losing records that end up winning their division and then win a postseason game. You just never know. I mean, it is Kansas City, but the Steelers also shot themselves in the foot tremendously against them. And there's a familiarity of opponent having already played them this year, too. That can come into play. We'll save a little bit of that, I think.
Let's give out our games
and talk about
the game. And then we can talk about the other game. Then you can rest your voice and go back to bed.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. I'll tell you that. Above all, TJ Watt, man.
Oh yeah,
and he should have the sack record. What is an aborted play?
I believe that he should. I both hope and don't care if they overturn it and give him, you know, a sack or a half sack. It's hard to argue with the guy hiked the ball into his own butt. and therefore it's not really, you know, now it's just a live ball and whatever. Maybe it's just a tackle for loss. I don't know, but I don't care. He's at least partway there. I would prefer they give it to him, but if he do, then you're going to hear all the rigmarole, I shouldn't have got it. All those people are going to lose their crap. So I don't care either way. It was a tremendous season. TJ Watt, absolutely a grown-ass man. There is no question about it. One of the grown-ass men of all grown-ass men. Guy's ridiculous. Who comes off of getting the highest paid contract for a defensive player and then puts up that kind of season? Normally what happens is you get paid and all of a sudden you do a Lamar Woodley. But no.
Hey, there was an interesting theory on that that I didn't quite – I haven't said it, and somebody kind of pointed out maybe you just get the same short-term, long-term memory. Aaron Smith disappears around that time too.
Yeah.
A lot to do maybe with some of Woodley's success.
Injuries.
But
a lot of injuries there.
Imagine being the person with the take, and you're out there. We'll find him. You better delete the tweets that you shouldn't have paid TJ Watt. Don't pay that guy.
Apparently you're wrong.
Yeah, this is
not that anybody cares, but holy crud.
Yeah.
Man, are the coaching firings happening fast today. Fast and furious.
Oh, who do we got now?
Gone in Miami. Nagy gone in Chicago. Somebody else was gone someplace else. I don't remember who that one was.
Man, Mike Zimmer's gone as well.
Yeah, Zimmer's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, they're happening fast and furious.
Yep. And Mike Tomlin not fired. Not going to be.
No, surprisingly, not fired. Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah, gee, I wonder. So, it's kind of interesting.
Cam one again, by the way. I'm just giving Cam one. 10 sacks.
Oh, yeah, he deserves one.
I'm giving him another one.
How about there should be the other half sack there where they called the penalty a little high-low there. Is that not the same thing? Was that Malik McDowell that hit Ben in the Browns game and they picked the flag up. That is the same garbage. And there are two instances here where TJ Watt, now mind you, if he plays healthy a full season, he probably has this record outright. Yep. If he doesn't get it, and let's just say they don't give him defensive player, it don't matter. He's coming for it next year and going to get it. And he's going to get it. So it's wild.
Can I just, I think maybe I used my ref steak gif once yesterday, but it might not even have been for this game. And to be fair, they stunk all across the board. They were terrible on both sides of the ball. That spot that we got, I'll take it and run with it. It was terrible. It was a bad spot. And they let us have it. Fine. But when you have TJ coming through the line like this with two guys, one each holding the opposite side of his jersey, and the ref's looking right at it, and goes, nah, I think that's okay.
There was not a holding penalty called at all, to my recollection.
And let's all remember, holding occurs on every play. Every play.
It's hard to believe, too, in a Steelers-Ravens game, and with a team that primarily runs the football, with an undisciplined and an offensive line that hasn't played together at all, like these guys, this was a new amalgamation of it, that there was no holding, not even on special
teams. Look at you with the big words.
Oh, I know. I'm pulling out the $5 words today, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah, we can't do the dollar menu anymore. It's inflation. So anyways, man, don't make me lose my voice any more than this. Let's see who else I got. You got to have somebody on offense, I think.
Ben.
Right? Yeah, well, yeah.
You got to give it to Ben. That drive that wins the game. Forget stupid Hebert or Herbert or whatever the hell his name is at San Diego. How many fourth downs, but whatever. Third and eight, third and nine, fourth and eight. That was just a clutch drive. Like classic Ben, clutch drive. He made the plays he needed to make. Ray both giveth and taketh away. Luckily, he did the taketh away part first and then the giveth part after. Because I was messing with Neil Coulong because he's like, Ray's out of my doghouse because he's had some nice returns. And that was 5 seconds before he dropped the pass. It would have been a first down. And I said, right, and right back in. And then as soon as he caught the next one, I went, and right back out. Chase had a nice game. I'm not going to give him a GAM for that game because I didn't think it was really worth it. But it was still a better game. It was more, his head was more in the game. And the one thing I will give him big creds on, the one end around where he looked, made a actual decision, I'm never getting to the outside, and cut that sucker back up and got the first down. Big time change. Just awareness, situational awareness, knowing what he has to do. And the only other thing I'm going to say is somebody please tell Deontay Johnson that he does not have to run backwards after every catch.
Yeah, but you know what? Even in watching the game last night, I hope people do this like I do. You probably do the same thing. Do you watch and you compare and you say, because people are like, oh, Matt Canada, he's stupid. Why do they do that? Deontay Johnson, why does he do that? That's so dumb. And you watch like things like the Raiders and Chargers, and you watch Brandon Staley just being super aggressive, which I think with both him and John Harbaugh's faults this year, I think they need to throw the analytics book out the window and that's
use
too
common
much.
Sense.
He went for it on like the 13-yard line or something early in the game.
Crack is whack, yo.
He's on something. I mean, I don't know what's legal in L.A., but I don't. What can't you get if that's there, maybe? So, anyway, or Vegas, because they were in Vegas. Yeah. But, yeah, whatever goes on there stays there. But watching the Raiders, too, it was like, hey, let's put Marcus Mariota. Oh, dear Lord, if I have to hear anybody else talk, we talk about Mervin. No, Marcus Mariota, gadget player that can't even gadget play correctly sometimes. It's like, no, he's done. He's finished. Stick a fork with him. He's a guy that can't stay healthy, too. But I'm like, why do they put this guy on the field? Why are they doing this wildcat stuff where you have the running back taking the snap, and then you might hand it to Mariota? And who are you fooling? They might get a positive play out of it here or there. But you see a lot of teams have success with the wide receiver running the ball. And both, like with handoff, I'm not sure I mentioned this, but I was like, man, I wonder if the Steelers could do something like – San Francisco has been doing Deebo Samuel, for example. And I'm not talking about this like completely changing Cordarrelle Patterson in Atlanta to basically a running back this season, but to a similar extent, I suppose. But it's been interesting, and I'm like, and here you go. Didn't Chase lead the team in rushing? He sure did, three for 33. So it absolutely worked, and I'm like, And I'm not sure if I transposed those thoughts to written or audio format, but I was thinking that last week, just to kind of give a change of pace to Najee. And, you know, Benny Snell struggled. Najee struggled. This team was the best against the run for the most part, even banged up as they were. Man, were people getting banged up in this game. The field condition sucked. But it was enough. They didn't give up on it. It helped open up maybe some other stuff. Was it pretty?
Helped win the game.
Yeah, it's survival. It's the same thing that Harbaugh is doing on the other side. It's survival. And, you know, we're talking about, like, three guys on the offensive line. Here's your starting lineup. You got Zach Gentry and Kevin Rader out there, along with the three offensive linemen we were talking about. And then they started off with Derek Watt out there as well, which is, you know, a misnomer among itself. But you're dealing with all these different moving pieces. You had Joe Hayden kind of playing part-time now, and I think this is just a preview of the future. Akello Witherspoon continues to impress me. I got to give a game ball, though, there where some people, I think, aren't looking. And it's got to go to Terrell Edmonds. And here's another guy that – where everybody, and now all of a sudden there's rumors with Kevin Colbert, obviously, might be moving on, according to Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, your usual Sunday morning game day news dump when they do this, so nobody could refute it. Maybe Kevin Colbert might be stepping away from the Steelers organization after the upcoming draft. And if that were the case, so be it, et cetera, et cetera. But so many people want every draft pick and every pickup and every other darn thing to be absolutely perfect, meticulous, Hall of Fame player, and a guy that gets a lot of shade thrown at him, and I've been very defensive of. He's my new Bud Dupree that I've been defensive of over the years, and that's Terrell Edmonds. And you take a look, Mark Andrews, 8 of 16 for 85 yards, no touchdowns.
Now, I'm gonna throw the one little pee in your coffee there on that. He absolutely could have got called for face guarding on the one play.
They weren't calling any of it though. Anyway.
I know. But like, I'm an Edmonds defender as well. I think he's gotten better each year, and I don't know where he's going to be next year. Whether he's going to be with us because they're going to figure out a way to make a deal that is team friendly for him, and have him approve it or something. But since they didn't pick up his fifth year option, and maybe they, I don't know. I don't think they can anymore, right?
No, that ship's long sailed.
We'll see. But he has played much better than each year. He's gotten better. And if you haven't seen that, you haven't been really watching. But he did that because I have a Ravens friend who lost his mind over that, and I can't argue with him. He's right. It could have been called, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and I know the play you're talking about. He didn't really turn.
He didn't turn away. Hands up in the face. Didn't turn around. Supposedly that is PI.
And he's not totally squared up on him the entire game. I alluded to whether or not they would do something like that. Obviously, they were using Robert Spillane, Devin Bush. He's going to get his here or there. I mean, last week with the Raiders, he had 6 for 89, but in the previous three games, 8 for 125, 10 for 136, 11 for 115, and 4 touchdowns. I mean, that is just absolutely sick. And for the Steelers, who had always had a bugaboo with tight ends this year, we have not really seen that. I mean, that's 29 receptions, 376 yards, 4 TDs. I don't know, with the Raiders, did they really do anything, or was it just that the Ravens kind of sucked? Probably more or less some of that happening too. Weather conditions, this, that, and the other thing. But man, he put up the most yards. He was on my fantasy team. I had to say that. You got to know your opponent. I put him on my fantasy team. I know you try and do this crazy, I only have Steelers on my fantasy team.
I don't even play anymore because it's pointless.
You just don't know your password. That's why.
Well, that's part of it too, but it is still pointless because I refuse to draft non-Steelers, and when other people take the players I want, then I get annoyed.
leads the team in receiving, and I believe set some sort of record overall.
Yes, he did.
With the franchise,
Ravens record for most receptions in a season.
which is, as a tight end. And everybody's talking Travis Kelce, so a little bit of hats off.
Figure it had to be a tight end, right? They have 400 of them.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You know.
All they have on their offense is tight ends and running backs, right? There's nobody else there.
Well, I guess we could look at some Well, we got one more. The play's coming down the road here, but Minkah Fitzpatrick saves the game, too.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And for those who are like, because some people were like, I don't even know what a catch is anymore. Well, that actually fits perfectly with the definition of what a catch is. He caught the ball, but he didn't maintain control to the ground. He didn't survive the ground. Right?
It was coming out before that.
Terminology? It was. Absolutely it was. Yeah, it had nothing to do with the ground.
It was like on his hip.
Punched out before he ever gets down. No football move. No nothing else. He couldn't maintain control of the ball as he finished the play. It's an incomplete pass. Clearly. Everybody agreed with that. And it was a hell of a play. Probably a game-saving play, quite honestly.
Absolutely. Well, first quarter, Brian, Ravens win the toss. Both of them. Which is
both
just
of them.
Annoying.
I know.
Annoying. So the Steelers have to receive three and out, just right out the gate. You got two run plays for a buck piece, and then Ben has a little short pass to Najee Harris. Oh, by the way, the short pass thing, I was going back to the Raiders. Hunter Renfrow did that at least twice last night, too. Same thing. The Deontay Johnson thing. It's kind of like, and Collinsworth even mentioned that. All he had to do was maybe dive forward for the one and have a first down there. So it's not exclusive to just the Steelers. Some of your frustrations and play callings and quarterbacks missing wide open players. It's not even just exclusive to a Ben or a Mason Rudolph or anybody like that. This stuff is just
rampant.
League-wide. Rampant's a good word for that, too. Just be thankful you're not a Jets fan. You talk about disappointment in games. Jeez.
I almost forgot this one. I have to also, since we gave Minkah the shout out. We have to give Cam Sutton a shout out too.
Oh yeah, sorry. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, well, you know he's my boy.
I know.
Got to get a number 20 jersey at some point here, and
that pick that was again game changing.
Very much so. Very much so. And these are the type of things that could keep. I mean, how many people are giving Cleveland a shot going in? Maybe because the Steelers were on a slide. But, I mean, they squeaked into the playoffs last year, beating the Steelers with sitting a bunch of guys and playing Mason Rudolph. I mean, people gave them a chance to not only beat the Steelers but go into Kansas City and maybe compete with them. And I know circumstances, Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. You just don't know. This season has been injuries, COVID list, just so many different things that have factored in. Give some credit where credit is due for the perseverance. I know the
Do you
team
think
needed
Patrick Mahomes is in a bubble right now? Like he's bubble boy because there's no way they're letting him get near anything COVID related before that game.
He's in a secure facility.
Yeah,
he's like I don't know however many hundred feet below sea level.
I was going to tell you need to go find him and give him a big old fat kiss.
Oh, jeez, get him sick. That would be kind of gross. I don't know, but.
Take one for the team, man. Take one for the team.
If it were New England, you know, you're pulling fire alarms at 2 a.m. and waking people up in the team hotel. So not unheard of to sabotage the competition as a fan.
I'm just saying, if I had COVID, I would kiss him.
Well, you don't even have to have COVID. There's now like flu-rona or whatever.
That's true. Yeah.
Flu-rona, which is like, okay, now we were talking about the blizzard and stuff just the show before or whatever, snowpocalypse and stuff, and now we've got flu-rona. Oh, man. And, you know, we joke and kid, obviously. It's, for some people, no laughing matter, but in other ways, it's just like, man, it sounds silly to say. But anyways, back to the game. I mean, the Steelers get the ball right back off of this aborted play. And it's Tyler Huntley. It says aborted. Bozeman fumbles, recovered by Huntley. Now, if Huntley throws this ball, he still gets stats, Brian. I mean, if he throws it, the pass is still going to be a completed pass, right? If he runs it, he's still going to get yards. If he scores a touchdown, it's still going to count as a touchdown. That's why I don't get how it can't be a sack. And somebody was still trying to defend this. I saw this like back and forth on Twitter, and I'm just like, nope, I'm homering this up. It's got to be this way. So Najee Harris gets dinged, and now you're with Benny Snell football, which didn't look so bad from the beginning. I mean, he ended up getting 5 yards and then 9 yards on his first two carries. And it's kind of unfortunate that he gets like 14 yards right out the gate and only has 22 to speak of for the entire game. That's kind of gross. But
yeah,
like another 8 yards or whatever the rest of the way. But loses a yard here or there. What are you going to do with the way the offensive line is? 4th and 1 for Baltimore's 5-yard line. And Snell is the one that gets tagged with the false start penalty. Otherwise, Tomlin, I think, goes for it there. And if you don't get it there, maybe a very different game, considering how this went in the overtime and 3 points. You don't have that extra 3 points there. You might lose in regulation. So maybe, as we said earlier, saves Mike Tomlin from himself and maybe being too aggressive like Hairball tends to be.
Yeah, I would actually have been fine with them going for it as long as they didn't do the same thing they did the other time they went for something that was blank and short and decided, let's just run straight up the middle with 9 guys in the box in the middle of the field. No, no, no. And I will call out both the offensive coordinator and Ben for not picking up on that and going, this is a dumb play.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, there's people, again, I don't want to get on this, have Ben call his own plays. The playbook is Matt Canada's. Who knows how many different people that's been gleaned from over the years, or he's put things in the toolbox, taken some tools and put them on the shelf in order to construct your Pittsburgh Steelers 2021 regular season offensive playbook. And then, for the most part, you might draw something in the dirt here or there. Improvisation, but you're not doing that for 50-60 plays for an entire game. Half of it's already there. It looks like the Waffle House menu. That's what they got, everything there. But even when Ben's calling these, some of these have run pass option built into them. This is the new NFL. Otherwise, you're audible out of it and you're calling another play. You only got so much time to do all of these things. So it's like, yeah, your quarterback's making some of these decisions. Then, of course, when you have the play, Ben is making the read, seeing who's covered, who's not. Maybe, hopefully, seeing the field the right way and reading the defense the proper way and avoiding Chuck Clark at all costs, hopefully, because he nearly came up with 1 or 2 extra picks there that would have been devastating. And, you know, it's just a little more complex than just blaming Matt Canada, in my opinion, or blaming Ben, or blaming whoever's throwing the football, or blaming... even blaming Ray McLeod or something. You just never know when the ball gets, you know, it's thrown behind. You don't know a whole lot of what's going out there. Who's supposed to run what route? Plays break down. Somebody gets the wrong message. There's just so much that goes on with these games and cycling people in and out. And then you got to hope Benny Snell knows all of his assignments too. Now that he's in there.
He blew a couple blitz assignments for sure.
Well, I don't think he's ever been the strongest in pass pro, and that's the reason why they went out and got Najee Harris. That's why Benny is.
That was a big loss when Najee was out for the majority of the game. That was just a very big deal.
Yeah, and if you're going to have any chance going forward, you definitely need to have him on the field. By the way, he has a statistic. Well, hold on. I got a couple of different things here. Ben Roethlisberger had his 57th game-winning drive, including playoffs. Over the Ravens.
Number 2.
Yep. Excuse me. Breaking a tie with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees for second most in the Super Bowl era. Only trailing Tom Brady, who had 67, who has 10 more career game-winning drives. Encompassing regular season and the postseason, which wasn't mentioned in the CBS pregame. They actually had him, I think, 3rd, and he was like 2 behind. He was still Tom Brady has most of his in the postseason. And then Peyton Manning, I think, is still number 1 overall if you're going just regular season. So that was one thing. But Najee, no fumbles, 381 touches, more than any player in the league, 0 fumbles, 2nd most touches by a player in a single season in NFL history without a fumble. That is courtesy of Field Yates. I'm not sure if he credited it from anywhere else. The other one was credited from NFL Research, by the way, if you want to know. So... I don't know how far much further we want to go here. Ben Roethlisberger throws the ball. Well, hold on a second. You got Terrell Edmonds with the interception.
That was nice.
Interesting, to say the least. And getting touched. I mean,
shoo. Get knocked. Thank you. Thank you, Mark Andrews, for kicking him. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, but you talk about splash plays. And I know he's probably not in the opportunity, probably more opportunity when you're covering Mark Andrews than just covering some terrain and maybe letting Minka freelance or something like that. So seeing a little bit of adjustment there, that was great to see. Fingertip, I don't even know what that is. It's almost like the AB helmet catch. It's like a, what do you want to say? I don't even know. Forearm and wrist and I don't even know what he caught that with.
Body was, part catch.
Yeah, well, I
don't know. Geez, well, I guess all catches are body part catches.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm tired. Leave me alone. I'm tired.
Yeah, I know. It's that darn game. All I wanted to do was get some more rest. So anyway, Steelers do get the ball, and then Ben gives it away. Almost kind of more like a punt and in this aspect. I wasn't brokenhearted over it, but it just sucks because it's a 3-0 game. You've had all these turnovers and splash plays and really nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
Just that, and then of course, first play out the gate after that is Devontae Freeman running for 22 yards, and you're like, "Oh, great, here we go." So open up the floodgates. Lots of bad punts and dumb punt shenanigans around the league, mostly too. If you saw Buffalo's game, whoo, the wind that was there, and their punter was kicking it like 15 yards. It was.
I did not watch that game.
That was bad.
And look, I will give Percy Harvin some credit. He made the bad shank that, you know, we all sort of semi-expect at the wrong time where we expect it to be. But then the next time out, decent punt, right? So I'll give him credit for that. Again, he didn't get in his own head, get stuck, and continue to have the yips in that situation. That being said, who's your punter in Kansas City?
Is it still one of the Colquitts?
No. I mean, who's your punter?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Corliss Waitman or Percy Harvin?
Well, the reason I wouldn't have played Presley Harvin to begin with, I already said
neither
that.
Neither would I.
I would have just had him shut down. I think the mental aspect of it, along with the performance aspect of it, I think they blend together. I think it's a lot to ask of a young man, rookie in the league. I would have shut him down and just played Waitman. Yep. And Waitman showed enough for me to just roll with the hot hand. And come back. It's like hockey with goalies.
I'm with you on that.
I was saying, you know, you just stick with the hot hand. And I don't think you could change now. I don't think you could change it back. So it's got to be.
It's probably hard. I still would do the same thing. I would go, we let you, you know, I would just go back to Waitman and let Waitman run with it and be done. And let Harvin recollect himself, and then they can have a competition in the next camp.
Yeah, that's exactly what my
I agree with you. It probably ain't going to happen. It's going to be Percy Harvin. So get ready for everybody to lose their nonsense over potential shanks.
Come on, I don't need that right now. Good vibes, man. Just the good vibes. We haven't gotten anywhere to good vibes on this game yet, but I was getting to the Sam Cook fake. Where James Pierre had no clue what was going on, and just lucky it was a bad execution all the way around on the play.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about aggressive. And then Benny Snell runs up the middle and gets stuffed for a loss of 6 yards. And they go 3rd and 16, and Ben throws a little dinker. I guess I'll come up with a new word. Dinker to Antonio McLeod. Oh, no, wait. We get to call him that later.
Yeah.
But a 34-yard punt. You're trying to pin inside the 20. It gets pinned right at the 20. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's conditions or what, but it's just like, we're just not getting enough. You could tell
wasn't the best place to punt yesterday.
The camera doesn't pan enough, and you're just like, oh, great, that wasn't a good punt. It doesn't pan at all. And the funny thing, I'm sure Terry may cover this with WTF, with the Buffalo game. That had everything going yesterday. It was kind of football nirvana, it really was. And this guy, there was a penalty, so he gets to punt it again. And he only punted it like 20 yards on the first try, right? I forget what the heck his name is now. Hawk, maybe? And
what do I care about shot Buffalo's punter?
It was actually worse. Well, because they were – you want to talk about a fan base that, like, boos? Oh, my God, did they boo them? Because the Jets were, like, competitive for part of that game, and it's just like – it was just another example of the weirdness in the NFL. You're not getting a
strange season. Been a strange season.
You're getting these super dominant games, et cetera, like wherever you think it might be. We had another one that was it was a lot of midfield battle because when the Steelers have the ball later on here in the second quarter, Harvin has a 26-yard punt, but he was only punting from his 42 down the Baltimore 16. So it's really difficult. You're also got Devin Duvernay, who isn't like a slouch as far as a returner. We know that Harbaugh has always been a special teams. That's what his base is, his foundation is. He's always been the guru with that. So I get some of this, too. So it's like I can't necessarily fault situational tactics and strategy. And I'm sounding like Mike Tomlin now and saying things like that. The situational football. So let's see.
I appreciate your efforts. It doesn't go unappreciated.
It doesn't go unappreciated. We appreciate those efforts. I mean, what else do you want the guy to say about, like, I think it's pretty good. He's blowing kisses at the camera. That's about the most you're getting out of him. I know he's not the curmudgeon that looks like the stone statue on the sidelines with the hoodie. But you get a little bit of animation out of him. But how much more do you want? You're going to ask somebody something at a press conference. They're not going to tell you.
It's like, this is Joe powering through the sickness. It's not, you know, it's expected. It's expected, but it's not unappreciated.
I'm trying, man. Froggy throat and all. It's happening. But we got a 3-3 game at halftime. And this was right after the unnecessary roughness. Cam Hayward, 2nd and 6. Should have been a
ridiculous
sack.
Ridiculous.
Yes. So they do get the TJ Watt does get the sack tie for the record on the next play. He would have had the record. It should have been this whole series should have went. That play should have been a half sack for him.
Yep.
Went get the record, then get kicked into nads, deflecting a pass.
Woo.
Oh, he took a straight UFC knee, MMA strike, right into
absolutely
the nether
saw
regions.
It. Yep.
Wow.
So did his brother. Everybody saw that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I get a little annoyed seeing J.J. Watt tweets or something like when they actually show it on the broadcast, like it starts to, like in the middle of the game, like, don't you have a game to be getting ready for? Don't you have something else to do? Like,
I don't know. Isn't he hurt? I don't know. I thought he was hurt still.
Yeah, whatever. Pay attention to the Cardinals or wherever you're playing for now.
I like it. I like J.J.
I know.
I like
fun. It's fun. It's better than getting like somebody who's completely disconnected with football and then showing their opinions. It's like, no, why are we looking at this? This is dumb. Talk about LeBron James, by the way. Anyways, him or Snoop happened to be fans of every single NFL team. Snoop Dogg was repping the Stiller Gang stuff again last night, and it's like, I can never figure him out. I swear he's always got like different paraphernalia on. But the second half, the Baltimore Ravens come out, and Latavius Murray ends up running a 46-yard touchdown scamper, and I'm just like sitting there, dumbfounded, like, uh-oh, here we go again. And the Steelers at least respond in some good faith. They get a 40-yard field goal from Chris Boswell. I don't think it was enough response. And I'm like, oh, geez, this is not good. Got to get some touchdowns. Got to get something to respond here. There's a lot of three and outs between these teams. Baltimore has a possession near the end of the third quarter that leaks into the fourth quarter. That's the one that ends up 2nd and 6 from the Steelers' 11. Fourth quarter begins with Huntley stepping back to pass and finding Cam Sutton instead of Mark Andrews.
Big deal.
Huge play. He totally comes off of he recognized that. He's just watching him.
Yeah,
nothing else but feel, gut, instinct. I mean, you could be wrong, and it's good when you're right. So, got to say that much. Steelers' next drive gets killed with a Joe Haig face mask after Benny Snell had probably his best run. Had his best any of the best runs of the whole day,
absolutely.
Other than the one we just mentioned with Latavius Murray, 24 yards. And you're just like, man, what a drive killer because it goes. Let's see, 24 yards from Baltimore's 42. He would have been down to the Baltimore 18.
39-yard flip, yep.
Yeah, enforced at the 42, and Steelers are now 2nd and 25 from their own 43. Completely flips the field. They end up getting squadoo here, and Harvin has to punt another 36 yards down to the 14. Again, short punt. you know, I'm ragging on the guy sometimes here or there, but what else are you going to do? You're not just going to put it in the end zone here either. Right. Steelers do get a three and out. Then the Steelers end up actually, they got some false starts. You think it's just going to end up killing this drive, but Ben finds Chase Claypool at the end of this for a 6-yard touchdown. They go up 13-10 with about 2:54 remaining as Chris Boswell kicks this back away to the Baltimore Ravens, who do end up squeaking this down all the way down to about a minute and 17, and Justin Tucker kicks a 46-yard field goal, automatic for him, no matter, especially in his own building. 13 all. And I know some people are probably thinking, you got the play here, 4th and 1 at the Steelers 44 with 44 seconds left, and I think the Steelers have one timeout. They have exactly one timeout on the board, and Mike Tomlin defers to punt this away.
Right move. It's the right move.
And there are people who are arguing this. You forgot that you got Justin Tucker on the other side.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh actually, on 4th and 2 from the Steelers 28, decides to actually kick the field goal. He didn't go super aggressive. If he had Lamar out there, he might go for that because he's crazy.
Yeah.
And what else has he got to lose? He's going to try and win the game. So you got to keep that in mind. That's why you punt the ball away.
I mean, you punt the ball for no other reason than with 44 seconds left, if you don't get that first down, if you fail, because you have to look at it from the negative standpoint, right? If we fail, the game's over and we lose because they only have to get maybe 5 yards and Tucker kicks. They may not have to get a yard. The dude did make a 60-plus yard field goal this year. I know the conditions are
dull,
I know, but whatever. He's the best kicker in the league. I mean, that's the way it is. I hate saying that about any Ravens player, but he's the best kicker in the league.
I'd give you that much. Boswell's up there too, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris is, in my mind, is very close second, certainly in the AFC, and I don't pay enough attention to the NFC to care. So,
not Greg Zuerlein, that's all I know.
Yeah.
So.
But you, it's the absolute right decision to punt and make them try and get in range as opposed to saying, well, hopefully you won't get 5 inches because you're going to be in range right away.
Yep, and 13-13, the Steelers end up, they get the ball back. Harbaugh does the same thing. He's got 16 seconds. He punts the ball. So he's like, nope, not doing that either. He recognizes real when he sees real also with Wizard of Oz. Ben takes a knee. Steelers lose coin toss. And then you're just like, oh, boy, what's going to happen here? And they end up forcing a punt and getting the ball back, and then you have a whole bunch of craziness going on here because it ends up being 15 plays, 65 yards, 4:28 for the actual game clock, but 8 minutes and 4 seconds elapsed. Real time, it took forever, but Najee Harris back on the field. You got guys getting hurt every other play. You had Ferguson hurt, Justin Houston hurt. Maybe somebody even with the Steelers. I don't know. They didn't because if they had the ball, they would have. I think they lose a timeout. I don't know. The overtime rules are kind of like almost the same as like within 2 minutes and stuff like that at the end of the game too. But somewhere in here, there's a 4th and 8, and this wasn't the prettiest pass in the world, Brian, but it got the job done. After Ben misses both Ray-Ray McCloud and Deontay Johnson on 2nd and 8 and 3rd and 8, he ends up finding Ray-Ray McCloud. Total clutch play. Excuse me. Down to the Baltimore 31. Najee Harris ends up running for 15 yards right after this. Try to chew some more clock there. Of course, there's going to be a 2-minute warning. I think Baltimore had already expunged its timeouts at this point, trying to save some clock for themselves. Boswell kicks a 36-yard field goal, ends the game sudden death. You already know the result of the Colts getting just absolutely hammered by the Jacksonville Jaguars, which, you know, if anything, you're expecting maybe a close game there, but you already knew that result was in the bag. So you're saying, oh my goodness, just... Now they're in. Wait, these two clowns playing tonight can't end in a tie. And that's all your buddy Chris Collinsworth wanted.
Oh my goodness gracious. I did tweet this, and I'm gonna say it, and if you have to go back and change it, you can. I am convinced that at the end of that game, Chris Collinsworth had blue balls because they didn't end in a tie. He was so sexually aroused for that to be a tie. I'm convinced.
Maybe it's his handlers that were too. So.
Yes, that's exactly what he was doing. He was being handled.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Bum, bum, bum.
But I'm
not quite all with it just yet, buddy. But I wish I could really show my true excitement. And I had some tears of joy for Ben Roethlisberger. It's not over yet. He gets another shot here in the postseason, which is good. You just want him to have. I wanted Ben to have a shot. I didn't want his career to end without having something to show for. Hopefully they don't have the doors blown off them like the last trip to Kansas City. So,
yep.
Maybe that's different. I don't know.
We just see what happens. I go into it with no expectations, other than I just want to. We got a chance. That's it.
And that's kind of the interesting thing that you say there. Expectations, and expectations have been high in the Steel City for a very long time. I know that's where people think there's mediocrity, because you have to lower those expectations a little bit to be realistic. How many teams really are Super Bowl contenders in the NFL this year? I mean, just look what's happened with the Arizona Cardinals as of late. And they were on fire forever. I mean, if you're really looking at teams, the NFC, it's probably like Green Bay, the defending champs, Tampa Bay.
Dallas.
So Dallas is
Tampa.
It may be in that mix as well. You look at the AFC and you're just like, Buffalo? I don't really know. It's like, it's pretty much just Kansas City. And Tennessee has done some ridiculous things with the amount of players that they've had hurt, but they jumped out to
it. And they'll be
crazy lead.
Full. They'll be full, fully stocked. Henry will be back. AJ's, or, you know, whatever his name is.
AJ Brown.
Yeah. AJ Brown's already back. So Derek they'll Henry. Be a much more complete team than the last time that the Steelers played.
Julio caught his first touchdown pass.
It's crazy
to me.
Sort of a non-factor, but yeah.
So interesting stuff. We'll preview more of that as the week goes on. Thanks for your patience with my voice, my slurring, my sloshing around. Hopefully you can't hear the chatter of the cough drops on my teeth.
But, and just for we're still working on the thank you for the submissions.
Oh, yeah.
Joe's been sick. So he hadn't had time to give me the other ones, but we're gonna go through them. We promise the helmet will get out.
Got a pile of them. Got a nice pile of them over the weekend, and I'm just like, oh,
sweet.
Man. Everybody, stop doing my phone's binging. I'm like, I don't want to look at my phone. I just want to sleep. So, but anyways, I wish I could convey all the excitement and vigor that I really have, but I can't. I got a lot of things to say that I'm just going to reserve. We've still got another week. We got some bonus football. So we're going to enjoy it, see how it goes. Brian, thanks for joining me once again. Again, everyone, apologies. Hopefully I wasn't that horrible. And I'm surprised I've talked as much.
You got better as the program went on.
Nah, I feel like I'm deteriorating as the program goes on, and that's why we need to cut it short. So, but anyways, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back at it again later this week. We'll be previewing this AFC wildcard game. It's kind of cool to end up saying. We'll see what happens. You're saying there's a chance? I'd say there's a chance. I'd like a different opponent, but I'll take a game. I'll take a game first over not having one. So,
absolutely.
My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.